November 7, 2020, it's the Watch from Pedro show.
Thank you.
Wife from Pedro Show, happy Saturday. I think it's the first Saturday of the month. Maybe not. I don't know. I lost track of time. I've been really weirded out and shit. But it's a little calmer now. My sister, Melinda, called me, and I'm a little bit...
Where's your sister live?
Wow, people, you can hear that I'm not man alone. Brother Matt, we're in quite in quarantino mode, so Brother Matt's at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point a couple miles south. But I am not man alone because of those software engineers in Estonia with their incredible Skype invention. I got with me both members of Falcon Eddie.
Woo!
Buckle the board. Montclair or Claremont?
Claremont.
Now, why do they have two towns next to each other with the fucking names backward?
Just to drive people crazy.
Yeah, okay. Because there was a pad in the older days, or more younger days, called the Green Door, and I think it's a parking lot of a mall now. And I played there many times, and I think it was in the Montclair part, because I think the Claremont was more the college part.
Yeah, we're in the college part right now, but I saw you in the Montclair part at the Green Door many a time.
Now, that was a trippy pad. It had a tell with it, too, that was kind of a crack house thing deal. And one time, the FBI and the local hombres came right before I got on stage. Mr. Watt, did you bring a young woman over a state border, Pennsylvania and Ohio? No, sir. You know, I got my bass on. And are you sure? I said, yeah, I haven't been on tour for a while now. And, oh, wait a minute. You said you had, because they said they had a picture of me. And, of course, that name had a U in it. That's why the first Firehose album, I put a house on fire, because I knew people. I said, it's the same band, but different hair. And the uniform hombre, he laughed. And the suited up guy was like, yeah, okay. So I got to do the gig, and I don't do that shit anyway. I do have some memories of Montclair Claremont. And I know JPL, and there's fucking Brother Jonathan is in Claremont, too. I got to record with Brother Steve McKay once in Claremont also. We started the show off with Half Nelson. They had the wrong fucking playlist yesterday, and I said... It was this too. Now, Half Nelson's a wrestling move. I got to talk to Raymond about wrestling with these young guys. He said they're in the art world and they use wrestling as a way to escape.
The fitness. I feel like wrestling right now.
Well, you know, I asked him if he knew about Sputnik Monroe, because this guy actually helped with the race thing in Memphis. It doesn't always have to be fake, you know, or jive like with the last clown show we just had. And then we had Nathan's pratfall from Falcon Eddie. Now, who wants to go first?
Amy.
Okay.
Amy, your earliest musical recollection, please.
Probably just my dad blasting rock and roll at all hours of the night and morning when I was a young kid.
Now, was your pop a listener or did he also play?
He was just a listener, but a pretty avid, you know, obsessed with rock and roll guy.
No, it's good to have a listener for everyone who wants to make music.
Yeah.
Or maybe take turns or whatever. This pad, where was it?
This was in my childhood home in Altaloma, California.
Okay, Altaloma. Yeah, upper hill.
Exactly, or lower hill, or, higher hill. I don't know.
Because this used to be out to California before we stole it from Mexico. Okay, was there instruments in the pad?
There was. There was a piano, and my older brother and I both took piano lessons.
Now, Amy, what was your experience? Because people on the show, it's quite a variety of... It seems it depends on the teacher.
Yeah, well, my teacher, actually, Mrs. Murray, I think was also my dad's teacher when he was a kid. So, and I didn't like it at all. I didn't practice and didn't enjoy taking lessons.
Yeah. What about at school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
I was in choir, like, in 6th grade and 7th grade.
Yeah.
And I think it wasn't, like, it was just an elective or something fun to do, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, the voice is an instrument. That's why I asked. Also, a lot of schools got rid of their fucking music and arts program, so I always ask this question.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the homestead. What was the first album you bought for yourself with your own money?
I honestly can't remember that.
It's a Watt for Pedro show. There are no hard questions. There are no wrong answers.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to go with it. I don't know. It was probably when I was working at Music Plus. Like, that was my first job as a teenager. And so I basically, you know, spent all my paychecks buying records, like, at work. And I think, like, during that phase, I was, like, super into Elvis Costello and the Replacements were like, my obsessions at that time.
So you can't remember which one you bought first. What about the first gig you went to?
I went to Stevie Wonder at the Pasadena Civic Auditorium, I think. And
I don't have the mind reading thing down yet, so you're going to have to rely on words coming from your mouth.
Okay. Yeah, words. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Words.
So if you think so, then I think so too, Amy. Look, since you were a refusenik with the piano because of that horrible experience with that teacher. So how did you end up on the instrument you're working now these days?
I actually always wanted to play bass, was kind of my first actual personal desire of an instrument.
Why?
I think because, like, just listening to songs, I would always kind of, like, hone in on the bass lines and was very into that.
That's so great. You don't know how fucking righteous that sounds to me. When I was a boy, bass is where you put the lame dude, man. That was like right field in Little League. That's where you put your retarded friend.
Well, I hone in on the retardation. That's where I like to focus.
No, things change. Part of it was the movement. That it was just so great. I kind of had a feeling that was your reason, but I wanted to hear you say it.
Okay,
so, but you don't end up on bass. In fact, this band, the closest thing to the bass is the kick drum.
Huh. Well, I bought a bass when I was working at Music Plus.
Okay.
From a guy that I worked with, Ryan Calamusa. Hey, Ryan. And every time I run into him now, he's always like, "Do you still have that bass? Like, I never should have sold you that bass." I'm like, "Yeah, I still got it, dude."
Now, how'd you learn on it? Did you take lessons or self-taught?
Self-taught, yeah. And I remember my boyfriend at the time, the first song I learned, actually, he showed me how to play Do by the Breeders, so I was all, like, stoked, which was probably just, like, eighth notes, you know, like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, so, but I was pretty into that. But so the first band I was in, I played bass.
Yeah, okay, and what was the name of that band?
That band was called Mathengill.
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 And what was the first gig like?
I don't really remember, but in lieu of you reading my mind, I'm going to say it was epic. It was epic, but I think I probably, like, didn't know how to turn my amp on and was, like, super confused, but it was still epic, like a fun time.
Kind of a pants shitter?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always kind of shitting my pants, so that's like that's an ongoing theme, so, but still, like, scary, but fun.
Okay, yeah, when I was doing my first op at the drummer man, Steve Hodges, I was telling him I was scared, and he said, "Look, being a little bit scared is like being a little bit excited," and I've never forgotten that. It's a good thing. Mm-hmm. It's better than fucking sleepwalking and connecting the fucking dots, right? I want to play Call Me Not.
All right.
Don't call me now. Don't call me dear. Don't call me now. I think it's rude when you do, and if you Don't call me ma'am. I wish I were a performer and you were my fan. If I could be your hero,
if I could be your hero,
you could be my man.
You could be my man.
If you thought I was smart, if you thought I was weak, it would melt my heart and make it skip a beat.
place for me. Boss man, where you can be. Just let me alone. You too, you government man.
Thank you.
Pedro Show, you just heard Good Listener from Falconetti. That's what this world needs, is more good listeners. Very optimistic, hopeful tune. Deep in the Woods, 66 after that, was She Wants More Pets. Head of that is going to be Tuesday's guest, Bombas Prendon, America on Hold. Not now, though. Styx, not the band from Chicago, but brother... nephew Alex and his buddy Pavel from Russia, and they had Yana Pavlova do the vocal. Why Do I? Agnes Steck out of Austin headed out with Plastic Factory. Captain. Guy by Voices headed that. And speaking of Dayton and the Breeders, right? Time Remains in Central Position. I guess. I think they're Eastern, though. You know, Ohio, the only state with a pennant. No flag. Dot Wigan Band. Maybe New Hampshire or Vermont? If I Could Be Your Hero. She was one of the sisters in the Philosophy of the World. But the Shags.
Shags.
Right, right. Golden Ghost from England. Well, it's spelled like Derby, but they say Darby. Like Darby Crash. But it's with E. Liminal Script. And then Delia Derbyshire. Looks like Derbyshire, under pseudonym, St. George Roos and Harper with computer music. This is from the 60s. Now, she was doing electronic music before synthesized. She used tape and oscillators. Incredible pioneer lady. We all owe. Los Raros, brand new out of Barcelona with Agonizer. And we started it all off with Call Me Not. It's a little Shakespearean. Yeah, like when somebody, you know, kind of challenges something I might say, and I go, I shit thee not. And so this, when I saw this title, I was thinking, Call Me Not.
Yeah.
I know where they're coming from. So, Erica, your first earliest musical recollection, please.
Definitely music in the car. My dad often had either KRLA or KEARTH on.
Ah, oh, sounds like SoCal.
Yeah, so lots of oldies, you know. But then, and with my mom driving around, she got an 8-track, and so there was a lot of listening to 8-tracks in the car. So lots of car listening, I think.
In what town?
In Highland Park.
Highland Park, right. One of the Avs?
Now
I understand the 50s music. KEARTH, right, because the demographic. Yeah, here in Pedro, it's like that, too. Kind of doo-wop and 50s with the nice cars.
Wolfman Jack.
Wolfman Jack, absolutely. When I was first came to Cali, just got done. He went used to broadcast out of Mexico with these really strong stations.
Yeah.
Yeah, super powerful. So, was there any instruments in the pad? I want to ask you, Amy.
No, you know, I think my brother was really the main sort of musical influence. Like, neither of my parents played instruments. They were both music fans, but,
not operators. What about at school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
The first thing I tried was flute, and that didn't work. I did piano for a while. But, you know, I was pretty little. We used to go through the Sears Christmas Wish book for, you know, presents that we wanted our parents to give us, and for whatever reason, I asked for a drum set.
You don't know why.
Honestly, I think about it, and I'm like, it could have been my brother's influence. I don't know, but I asked for a drum set.
Were you pounded on shit around the pad, like pots and pans or Tupperware?
Not so much. Okay. Well, that's the thing, is like, I was more like dancing around the pad, so my parents actually got me dance lessons instead
of... But you know what? I got a theory about that. I think that's the first drum, is the earth, because our...
That's right.
Feet were the drumsticks.
That's right.
The dancing is a form of drumming.
Yeah, and you gotta have some rhythm to do it.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
That's what I feel. Anyway, so you got a drum set. What was it, one of these deals like, we'll get you this instrument, but you're going to have to take lessons?
No, that was the thing. Okay. Is they, you know, my brother got like accordion lessons, but they didn't get me lessons, so that's why I didn't get very far with the drum set at that point. Also,
where did you practice?
It was a Sears kit. It was like...
No, I'm curious, where in your pad did you prac? In your bedroom?
Yeah, I had the kit set up in my bedroom. But, you know, they were paper heads, so it,
oh,
you know,
okay.
So it's like super hard to do much of anything with it. And like the super shitty little symbol that doesn't really like resonate or anything. So there was actually a picture.
You know what? Do you remember that band, The Urinals?
Playing guitar on the kick drum. It was like, what?
Do you remember that band, The Urinals?
Yeah.
Okay, that first record they did, Surfing with the Shaw, that's done on one of those kind of drum sets.
Wow.
Yeah, with the fucking paper heads and shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, yeah. Now, how long did this go on? Did you play with other people, or is it woman alone?
You know, I didn't play too much with that first kit, but when I got to high school, I also have a bass kind of story, because I was also attracted to bass in high school, but like we were walking down to the pawn shop to get a kick pedal for the drum kit. We were starting a band with me and my friend Jennifer and another friend Michelle, and we're walking back having picked up this kick pedal, and Jennifer was supposed to be the drummer in the band, and she was like, she just blurted out all of a sudden. She's like, I don't want to be the drummer. I want to play bass.
I have to interrupt. This is so weird, because in Massengill, it was a three-piece girl band. Uh-huh. But the drummer, named Jennifer, totally bailed on us. Weird.
Yeah. But so
you know what? This band, Jennifer was so upset about. I think this band, Falconetti, was meant to be. I think this
We're totally meant to be.
Yeah. But she was so upset about being the drummer, I was like, fuck it, I want to just play. Like, I want to play in a band, like, I will play the drums. So from there it was, yeah. And it worked out great, and she was a great bass player, and it was fun.
So, like, you guys stayed in the band, but you just had to have the right role.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. Now, what was this band called?
That band was called Gibby Cobbler.
Now, what was the first Gibby Cobbler gig like?
I don't know if we actually, that particular band, I don't know if we gigged out.
Just practice? Now, what, did you write your own songs, or were you like learning stuff off records?
Yeah, we totally, but we didn't have a lot of songs, but we definitely wrote our own tunes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's so great. You know, when I hear about people that didn't have to be fucking teenagers in the 70s, they were writing their own songs right away. Like, no one we knew did that shit. The best dude was the guy who could play Black Dog the best.
Huh. Yeah, mind you, we didn't have a huge, like, catalog.
Yeah, but still, you were trying, you know? And we just didn't. We were clueless. That's how important the movement is. It's hard to relate to people unless you were in that time where everybody's trying to copy songs off records. I think you're heroes, man. When I hear this, I'm glad it went out of fashion that people just copied off. So you can't remember the first, maybe you didn't even do a gig. But you did play together, and you did compose together and make songs. Did you record any of that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be, like, a cassette of us practicing. I think there is, for sure. Like, we definitely recorded. I mean, again, I have to give a lot of credit and props to my brother, who's almost 5 years older than me, because he played in a lot of bands. He played a lot of punk gigs. And so I got a lot of that, like...
An accordion?
No. That was just his first instrument.
Oh, okay.
Like, he's one of those dudes that can play everything.
Yeah. I love those guys. They just pick it up, right? No, I've seen this. They just can pick it up. And there's that guy Shiraz. He's like this.
Yeah.
He plays with Mark Ribot. And he was born with no sweat glands, so he can't get too hot. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of trippy. Look, we're at the end of the first hour. November 7, 2020 edition of Walk for Pedro Show. Special guest Falcon Eddie. Hold tight for hour two. November 7, 2020. It's the second hour of the Walk for Pedro Show.
The mountain on your lost and such a good thing we had. Everything was rolling right. I don't know how it went so bad. You used to set my night on fire. Lord, you spun me round and round. Just do one last thing for me, babe. Leave me ever lost and found.
Thank you. Giving up, and it's the fun we never had. When we were three and reason, golden, I am going.
For Pedro Show, we started the second hour off with Falconetti doing Minute 10 and Sam Bennett out of Tokyo, originally a Birmingham, Alabama guy, but 25 years now in Tokyo. He'll be on the show next week. Leave Me at the Lost and Found. Jerome Parker Wells out of St. Louis with Johnny B, stand-up bass man. Surf for Blood with Caribou out of Florida. The Suns, Brand New Fiction. Silver Thing, Leaving Wonderland. And finally, PTSD by Falconetti. Okay, we got to know how Falconetti, now I know how you guys both got into music, how you got on your trips. Now, how did you meet each other? Because Highland Park isn't right next door to Claremont.
Well, in the early 90s, I guess, there was, that's when Massengill was rocking it. There was kind of a scene that I was introduced to in the area, in the Claremont-Pomona area. and friends of ours, you know, just people who were in bands who I had never met before in my life, but were all of similar age, you know, congregated and found this club in Pomona called Munchies, which is where Massengill's first gig was. And, you know, touring bands like Mecha Normal and Nation of Ulysses and stuff like that would play there. Yeah. So it was kind of like we met, like, I know our Bud Franklin was on your show a few weeks ago. He's kind of
Brother Franklin, right. And he's, yeah. I think he's a Claremonter.
Yeah, so he was, you know, around, and Shrimper, our friends, the Kalachi brothers. Dennis started a label called Shrimper. So, like, you know, Massengill had the first song I ever wrote called Premature Cheese was on a compilation cassette that Shrimper put out. So it was really like, whoa, shit's happening.
Yeah, but let me get this clear. You met Erica. You both were gig goers. You met each other at a gig?
Yeah, well, I mean, we definitely met each other at the various gigs around, because Shrimper did it through a lot of events, whether it was at Munchies or elsewhere, like house parties and stuff like that.
I'm thinking about where you lived was Mr. T's Bowl, right?
Yeah, but by the time that Amy's talking about, I was actually going to school out here in Claremont, which is how I...
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, like, that's how I met all the folks in the Shrimper scene and all that. And there's actually kind of a funny story about, which I don't even know if Amy remembers this, but, like, it's a weird full circle thing where the job that I have now, which is running the radio station at Pomona College, KSBC, the first summer that I took that job, I was, like, fresh out of college and super, like, green or whatever, and Nathan, a.k.a. Nathan's Pratfall,
woo!
Had a show at the station, and he invited Massengill down and some other band down to the radio station to play, and the bands proceeded to invite, like, all their friends, and people, like, drove from out of town, and there was, like, a huge party at the radio station.
Bomb rush.
And it was like, it was my job though to shut the party down, because it was my job now, and it was rough. So that was like weird circumstances of meeting up with Amy, but here we are, like.
Yeah, Erica the Enforcer.
Yeah.
Look, I want to play building.
Bye. bunga. Or is it get a ding dong bong ding dong bong bong? My cousin of mine, father is a cedar. Could a father cedar say that go? Father in the back of God. What am I? What are any of us but our own disguise? Masquerade.
To hide the phone when he called that first time. Say the name that she cannot say. Hearing it from someone else is the hardest way.
Dream. Wish it wasn't true.
I was an urban planner. From Toluca Lake out to Bakersfield, I was a power broker in my private Parthenon. I had an all-day sucker.
respect. From people I respect. And what did you expect? Some kind of fucking reject. Cause I'm the teacher's pet. Excelling in all the subjects. Without flaw or defect. Cause everything is perfect. You bet. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. More than just.
Show. You just heard Wishful Thinking from Falcon Eddie. Ahead of that was Hey Honey from Pussycat and Dirty Johnson's out of England. The Human Hearts, there's Brother Franklin.
Woo!
One Who Fell. You know his tunes. Right to the point. Fake Legs, ahead of that with Wish It Was True. I think that's a prod from the Quee guys. And they got the Dub Trio bass man, Stu Cook. Silent League, ahead of that, brand new, First Train, that's from overseas. Tollum, Our Own Disguise, brand new. I think he's in New Mexico these days. Lewis Cole, Clouds, Troopa Troopa. I had Gregor on the show yesterday from Gdansk. Turn, Waku Waku Kingdom, ahead of that, with Ozu. Brother Shige, he was on the day before yesterday. I'm doing 5 shows a week now with this quarantino mode. And then we started everything off with Building from Falcon and Eddie. What was the first Falcon Eddie song that you two wrote together?
I think our big hit that Erica and I have right now is called Kiss the Microphone.
To be released.
To be released. We're going to do a EP, actually, is our next project.
Okay, I'm going to ask the question again. What was the first song you both wrote together?
I don't know if we've done that, but yeah.
Okay, what was the first song that one of you wrote and both of you fucking played on?
Same thing, Kiss the Microphone.
Oh, it was? Okay. Because you can't ever have the first song a second time. So that's why that's why I ask about the first gig too. They're trippy things, right? Yeah. You break the water, right? So that's why I'm curious about the first time you guys wrote together, Kiss the Mic. And that's not going to be – so all this other stuff you've been like, you know, A Girl Named Cat named after a cookie and shit like – you wrote that after Kiss the Mic, even though you haven't recorded
Kiss the Mic. That was before, actually. So
I'm going to ask the question again. What was the first song you guys wrote together and recorded?
We haven't recorded it yet.
No, have you – Yeah, any songs. Come on, what are these fucking 11 songs I got here? You've recorded
What? So here's the thing. The stuff that's on the latest album was recorded before Amy and I started our version. There's been many versions of Falconetti. They all have...
I don't know this. I told you the mind reading is...
That's why I'm telling you that. This is all Amy. It's all Amy all the time. This is Falconetti.
Well, this is basically Falconetti.
Okay, let's start from ground zero because I'm confused.
Yeah, I'm confused too, man. Okay, start over.
Okay, go ahead.
This is Falconetti 3.0.
Okay.
And Falconetti 3.0 is just me and Erica and you on bass.
Okay. So all this stuff before was Erica ain't on. Is you with other people?
Correct. Erica and I have only been alive, like, Kick Out the Jams party band thus far.
Okay. So now I understand why Kiss the Mic is going to be the first.
Yeah.
Because it's the first of this, of the current version.
Yep.
Okay. And so what's the difference between playing with her and the first versions of, like, the stuff we've been listening to? Well, obviously the drums.
This is fun.
And what, the other was hell?
I mean, you know.
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
No, it wasn't hellish, but Erica and I definitely have, like, an excellent chemistry and have, like, a fun time and joke around and get one another, and it's just fun. And we both sing and...
And the other band... Now, what was your first one?
Massengill.
Massengill. Between Massengill and 3.0 Capmetti, I mean, Falconetti, there was two Falconettis, right?
Yeah.
Now, what were they like?
Between them what?
Well, Falconetti 1 and Falconetti 2, what were they like compared to Massengill and Falconetti 3?
Okay, well, Falconetti 1.0 was because I wrote a bunch of songs, and then I asked Massengill drummer, Craig, hey, Craig, to, like, play, you know, those songs with me. So that was kind of like a residual, like, runoff from Massengill. And then Massengill 2.0 was...
Falconetti
2.0. Oh, sorry. Mike's messing me up, man. Okay, Falconetti 2.0 was, again, like, friends of ours from around here, because we know have a lot of friends that play in bands and play music, so I kind of asked Steve and Nathan on bass, and Steve, who played drums and recorded and mixed the album.
So that's what we're hearing. We're actually hearing the 2.0 version with all the songs. Okay.
Correct.
Okay, man, you know, it's as clear as Windex, okay?
It's kind of foggy. Yeah. I know.
No, I got it now. I got it. I'm a slow learner, but if you... Thank you for being patient and fucking walking me right down that fucking learner path. People, it's the second hour, November 7, 2020 edition of the Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour three. November 7, 2020, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
What did I- to come to a taxidermist to make me a two.
Thank you.
floating all around his head, so he knows when his aunt made his heart.
Start off the third hour with a girl and her cat named after a cookie. This is Falconetti 2.0. Wasted Space after that with Lost Tapes number 6. Thank you, Crane. Himmel Room with Blodbog. First part. There's going to be three parts out of Denmark. Hi Maya. This has got Alan Ravenstein from the original Peru. Old Cleveland band, trippy, what do you call this, experiment rock. Hold the Holograph, I Think I See Now. And then Samuel Locke Ward with Boot. And finally, Falconetti 2.0, Houses, People, and Trees. So, you're going to record an EP.
Yeah.
Where are you going to do it?
Hopefully in Erica's garage.
Okay. And are you bringing in a producer person or something? Or are you guys going to do it yourself?
Hopefully. What do you think, Erica?
I mean, we know how to record, but we also have a resident producer, musician. He will probably chime in.
Erica's man friend, Chris, is an excellent musician, and he has a band called Night Control. And he's one of these people that plays everything awesome and is kind of a multi-talented dude. So I'm hoping to suck Chris into our recording. And
he's a polymath.
Yeah.
Polymath. Yeah, those guys, man. Something about it, man. Huh, cats like that who can, no matter what they touch, they can play. They're just musical people. And all they need, actually, is a situation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you know this about bands. Part of it, yeah, maybe having some natural talent or whatever you had to work out in a lot of practice. But it's applying it, right? Making a situation.
Yeah.
And because, you know, think about it. We all use language. Words, a lot of us, those fortunate people with the mind reading, they don't have to be burdened with that shit, but the rest of us using words, but we're not all like Cicero's with the order shit, but you can still, you know what I mean? The same thing with not having to invent one fucking word and still being able to write a really original novel.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, it seems, and then some people who do have this natural thing, it kind of gets squandered because they don't get put in the sitch or they don't meet the right people that make things happen.
Right, totally.
And this is one of the reasons why I have guests on the show. I want to show people that there's a billion different ways to do this. There ain't one way. And in fact, probably the way that suits you is probably the one most natural. So depending on your all the variables, fuck. Find your own way. And if you fall down, get back up and stuff like that. So I love to hear stuff like this story like this. And so Tell me about Kiss the Mic. You wrote this together. Who wrote the words?
I wrote the words.
Now, do the words come first or the music?
The words always come first.
Wow, most of my guests are different.
Huh.
You know what comes first with my songwriting?
Huh.
Title.
Oh, yeah.
And most people, it's the last thing, like the bass. Here, I want to play Maddie Blanzit. Sounds like a name.
Don't upon Arizona. see them quite often, standing there in the rain, lost in time, oh, drenched in this place, denizens of the street, walking wounded or insane. You only see them when you're passing through. All of them appearing like ghosts out here. The faces on Pacific Avenue. Where there all the familiar faces. Strangers we see every day, standing down here where the buses all come to stop, like the old Filipino men in straw hats who used to stand at Ethel's donut shop. All these Croatians, Mexicans, even Salvadorans, this drive or walk, cast out here like immigrants along this cement shore, all standing round with their hands in their pockets, so they got nothing left to do. They're just more ghosts out here, the faces on Pacific Avenue. Wandered every tattooed sailor of the world, they all come looking for something like love from a streetwalker or two. Oh, but the old horse just get ugly, wrinkled and fade into this gray harbor night. There's one who looks like Tina Turner, oh man, oh, she's just trucking her stuff just for you. Dressed in lavender, lace, and blue. Just one more ghost out here. They face us on Pacific Avenue. Comes a long time Larry, his friend Crazy Frank. There's the pointer and oh, the yellow man too, along with the greats like Shanghai Red or Freddy the Hat Who. Either living or dead, you know they're legends for sure. They're just ghosts out here. The faces on Pacific Avenue. Sometimes I look out over my shoulder, see the trash trucks like banshees come. I see the young or the hip or the homeless or a group, a gang of wannabes start to run. Past an old crippled man down on 12th Street, standing there with a vacant stare and worn out shoes. He's standing out at this crosswalk, you know, just wondering which way he's gonna lose. But you know they are all dying to be ghosts out here too. More faces on Pacific Avenue. So gather round me, friends. Listen to what I have to say. Price for living too close to these streets, one you deny you ever have to pay. Oh, you aren't too careful if you watch out what you do. You find that white horse of death, you know me chasing after you. Might be an incense salesman, somebody trying to shine your shoes. If you don't look out, there's a spade set for you. Now you may become another apparition. Oh, faces on Pacific Avenue.
You had better get better, or I'm gonna go tell your mother. Don't know whether it's the weather, could be the sun, the moon, the tide, whatever. Better get it the fuck together. Airtight, in condition, never knowing just what hit ya. If you should accept the mission, buckle down and fuck tradition. Cause you're totally total, totally total, totally total, totally total. Better get better, or I'm gonna go tell your mother. Don't know whether it's the weather, could be the sun, the moon, the tide, whatever. Better get it the fuck together.
Pedro, so last music for this edition. Started it off with Maddie Blanchett, so don't try and sue whoever you are. Johnny Mark and the Ricks, Eating Your Heart Out. This features Frankie Onwe, late great Frankie Onwe of the Suburban Lawns. I don't know if you guys remember that band.
Yeah, totally.
You do. Strong Beach.
Yeah.
Before we were Minutemen, we were called Reactionaries, and we played with them in their prac pad. Their prac pad once belonged to the Carpenter brother and sister.
Oh.
After Downey, they had a pad. Now I drive by. It's like Anaheim and Magnolia, block off Anaheim south. And you could see it, and they turned it into three, four apartments. But anyway, Frankie Well, yes, his actual name was Rick. He had a massive stroke and died a couple years ago, and I just found out, so I've been playing all this music he made after the Suburban Lions. Team Dresch. You know about Donna Dresch? Great bass lady. Yeah, she met her when she was playing in Screaming Trees, and she had a great fanzine called Chainsaw.
Yes.
And a label, too, and she's got a band called Team Dresch. Actually, they've been around a while now with Venus Lacey. And I think Olympia. Great cats. Yeah. Great people. James Allen from Pedro here. Well, I think he's from the Hill, but he lives here. And Apparitions. You know when we say the Hill, right? It's Palos Verde. Michael Jira. Bill Lambier. A few famous people from up there. Xenochronic AMM All-Stars had me aboard for this 12-voice space. People overseas having me improvise with them. And then finally, Totally Totaled, which I thought was the best song for last song, right? Because it's Totally Totaled from Falcon Eddie. So this EP, how many tunes?
Five?
Yeah.
Okay. And you got them all done, right? Ready to go?
They're ready to go, and if you want to practice beforehand or just show up and play on them, whatever you want to do is cool with us.
Well, seeing how fucking the last time I saw you guys was that Brother Jonathan's book thing.
Yeah.
Where I met that bass man.
John Taylor.
Yeah, the tall guy. Great bass man. Beautiful guy, too.
Duran Duran.
Right. But, you know, not just looks, man. I mean, that guy can play, too. And he was so kind to me. But, you know, that was like 60 miles. So, if possible, I would like you guys to flow the tracks to me, and I'll put them on here in Pedro.
That'd be rad.
I mean, I've been doing a lot of that during this quarantino where, you know, I play to it like I was there.
That's a deal.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
You don't have to be fucking a total lame out, but... I just did something for Chris Murphy's record like that and stuff. Hey, why come up? And now, can I? You know, the internet is not all bad. There are some good things about it. One of it is being able to collaborate by trading files.
Amen.
I mean, we will get to the point, I think, where we'll be able to play live when we get this latency issue.
Yeah. Solved.
But, and, you know, of course, to get and play with people, but you know, what are you going to do? Just fucking piss and moan and bellyache and shit? Or you just deal with what the hand we got dealt, and this is what we got dealt for now. And I would love to be part of 3.0.
Yay!
As
the glue, you know?
Woo!
Yeah.
This is like the best day ever.
Dresch for the thing. And, you know, here's the politics of bass, the way I see it. You know, Aiden and Abed, you look good making the other cats look good. And yep. I'm so grateful to D. Boone's ma for putting me on bass. I was 12. I didn't even know what the fucking thing was. You know, it looks kind of like a guitar in the pictures.
Yeah.
But it's actually like a drum. It's more like a drum. The sounds are down there where the kick is and maybe the toms.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, interesting. I mean, there's so much to learn on it. I haven't even got to the five-string ones. Fuck that.
Dude, that's why I never wanted to play guitar. Like, I'm like, whoa, two more strings? That is confusing.
Yeah, but it's going to be guitar. I don't know. For some reason, guitar became rock and roll, even though, if you want my opinion, rock and roll is actually piano music.
Whoa, uh-huh.
You think a little Richard, Jerry Lee Lewis, and even Chuck Berry, his piano man wrote a lot of the tunes.
Yeah.
So, but I guess it's hard to carry around. You know, me and D. Boone didn't even know keyboard players. They cost so much money in the early 70s. But a guitar is just so easy to bring around, I could see why it happened. And also, that they could put it on Elvis and hang it in front of his junk and shit.
Wow. That salacious junk.
Yeah, so, because, you know, the guy who was really working the guitar was Scotty Moore.
And, right.
He's
Hey, did you see Van Halen a bunch back in the day?
I don't think I ever seen him once. A couple times I met the guitar player.
Uh-huh.
That bass guy I thought was very key to that band. He came in, he had good solid foundation parts, and then him coming in with the high voice, it was the same thing that Buck Owens used to do. You know, you have the high voice come in for the chorus. It's a good trick, and especially when your singer was doing a Jim Dandy Magnum thing. November 7, 2020 edition of Wofford Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.